Your side hustle may be paying the bills and giving you lots of free time, but the tax man is always watching. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. Depending on which research you read, somewhere between 30 and 35% of American workers are part of the gig economy, many of them employed through digital apps. Or as tax professionals put it, they're self-employed. And that means they're responsible for their own taxes. So come Monday, when tax filings are due, some of these independent contractors are in for a rude awakening. Amy Wall is a tax preparer based in Tucson. We've talked to her before about the impact of the gig economy on taxes.
The problem with this gig stuff, it's typically people who, they haven't done it before. We're still seeing newbies. Well, anytime they have self-employment income of more than $400, they're required to file a Schedule C, and they're going to start paying self-employment tax on it. And yeah, they're surprised.
I can imagine if I were just a person who had an Airbnb, or I were a person who drove a Lyft, and you start saying to me, Schedule C and self-employment tax, we're like on different universes.
Absolutely. Now, Airbnb is not subject to self-employment tax unless and until they start providing a service. Once they start providing like breakfast or pick you up from the airport or whatever, they're now providing services. And in the world of the IRS, now it's a business. If they're not providing services, it's just rental income and it is not subject to self-employment tax. So it's an important distinction.
Huh.
Yeah, right? I'm telling people, don't serve breakfast. Make them get their own breakfast. But something like Uber or Lyft, absolutely. That is self-employment income. They're providing a service. They're getting a 1099 from the parent company. That 1099 is going to the IRS. It has to be on the tax return, or they're going to get a not very friendly letter a couple months later saying, where is this income?
How much are these companies doing to set these workers up for success, do you think? Is this part of the, you know, starter packet, what you should do about your taxes?
I have not seen companies doing that. Airbnb actually does have an entire brochure that they make available to explain how to do taxes. Now, Uber and Lyft are, these days, at least providing the number of miles driven, which is a big help. In the early days, we were having to ask people, so how many miles did you drive? And they'd look at us like, you know, what? I mean, if you're driving Uber or Lyft, you are using your vehicle. So any miles are deductible at the standard mileage rate, which changes from year to year.
What would you like to see companies provide? Like, if you could write them some best practices about what they should be telling these independent contractors as they come on, what would that look like?
What would be wonderful is if they could provide periodic reports that say your self-employment tax on this amount of income is X. Now, of course, they can't calculate it exactly because they're not calculating the expenses, the cell phone and all that. But they could surely calculate it on the growth. That would be nice. At least people would not be surprised when they come to their tax preparer's office.
Amy Wall is a tax preparer based in Tucson. We like to check in with her on taxes and the digital economy. Not everyone in the gig economy is doing a great job dealing with the taxes they owe. A February audit by the Treasury Department found that the tax gap for self-employed workers, that is, the amount they owe and aren't paying, is almost $70 billion. And now for some related links. There's been lots of talk about how now that Lyft has gone public and Uber is expected to do the same, along with Airbnb, suddenly lots more people and financial institutions are going to be literally invested in a business model that relies on really reclassifying labor. Tech companies in particular have become known for using lots of contract workers instead of full-time employees. And, of course, building these entire armies of on-demand drivers and delivery people who also are not technically employees. Economists and labor experts say we're going to have to figure out a safety net for these workers, whether it's shared benefit pools, future unions, or just some rules. You'll find some stories about those rules, proposed and otherwise, on our website, marketplacetech.org. And speaking of taxes, real quick, I host this other podcast called Make Me Smart with Kai Rizdahl. And we recently did an episode about taxes where we talked about how, despite our technological advances and how in many other countries, the government just adds up your tax application and sends you a bill, here in the United States, big tax filing companies have lobbied for years for that not to happen. And in fact, just this week, ProPublica reports that a bipartisan bill is making its way through Congress right now that would permanently bar the IRS from setting up an online system of tax filing that would be free for anyone to use. On a related note, last year Intuit, which makes TurboTax and H&R Block, spent about $6.6 million lobbying Congress on various issues, including and mostly this IRS bill. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.